Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball as we do every Saturday morning, ready to belly laugh our way back through another show and welcoming in another familiar White Sox face. Good morning, Bruce. Big show ahead. How are you this morning?
Good morning, David. Yeah, I'm very happy to be with you as always on Saturday. A little abbreviated show today as we're off at 10:45 today, but a lot of baseball talk and information and guests packed in between 9 and 10:45, including Cody Bellinger joining us at 9:40 today. At 10 o'clock, Nicky Lopez of the Chicago White Sox. Something for everyone, a party tonight on the Score and inside the clubhouse.
Nobody told me we were talking to Paul the final 15 minutes of the show. Terry Cummings, Mark Aguirre, hey, back in the 70s. How about that, Bruce? Is that what we're talking, or the 80s and the heyday? Is that what we're doing the last 15 minutes of the show?
You know, I've looked at a few DePaul scores, and I'm not going to go there with you. I'm not going to do it. I don't pile on the good people of DePaul, a lot of friends of mine over there, and let's just say they're going through some hard times with their men's basketball program right now.
Cody Bellinger could start the spring 0-14, and a DePaul fan would say that's a good start. So, yes, I think that we can safely say we'll avoid DePaul basketball until 10:45 when we will get out of here for Zach and company. But, Bruce, it's been a big week in Arizona. The White Sox and the Cubs both have had really interesting developments. I think the biggest one is Cody Bellinger's return. He's going to join us at 9:40. Can't wait for that conversation. But when he met the media next to his agent, Scott Boras, and Jed Hoyer, what was your initial reaction to what they said? And were you surprised, as I was, Bruce, that Scott Boras had as big of a speaking part as he did in the process?
Well, I was surprised he was sitting there. I can't remember, except for situations where there's a translator, anybody in a free agent setting with a front office after a signing, sitting with the player at the dais. I don't remember it, but you know, again, it didn't even dawn on me until probably halfway through the thing that, you know, hey, what's Boras sitting there for? What is his purpose? You know, but again, Scott is different. He's, you know, certainly out there. He's one of the most influential, not just agents, but people in the game of baseball. And he was going to have his say as to why his free agent was signing a 3-year deal that could be a 1 or a 2-year deal instead of a 6 or 7-year deal that we had heard about from November on that was going to get $200 million for his player.
Let's stay with that for a moment, Bruce. We'll get to the White Sox because we have Nicky Lopez at 10 o'clock, and there's some things that happened out there I want to get your thoughts on. But let's stick with the Scott Boras impact on this offseason, because now we have Cody Bellinger back with the Cubs. Overnight, Matt Chapman signs a three-year, $54 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. Some speculation about whether the Cubs would be in on that. But to your point, that's not the deal that Scott Boras wanted for his client. That's not the deal you expected Matt Chapman to sign. What's going on here? And were the Cubs wise to avoid going after Matt Chapman because of other things happening within their organization?
So the baseball union that represents the players, the Players Association, will be kicking and screaming and knocking on doors and asking why there hasn't been more money spent this offseason, why some of these contracts are similar, and avoiding saying collusion and at the same time alluding to collusion among possibility of ownerships in baseball. And that's going to be really impossible to prove. I don't think it really is collusion. In my mind, this is a one time where owners and baseball have to take a pause because of the RSN issue. And briefly, we'll catch up with the RSN issue. The regional sports networks are taking a big dive. Most sports fans are aware of it. If you're not, up to 15 teams in Major League Baseball will be getting a 0 to 30% or 40% of what they were getting on their TV packages before this year and last year because of the RSN networks, Bally and Diamond having difficulties and basically giving the team's broadcast rights back to Major League Baseball, back to the teams, and saying, hey, we can't make it. We can't sell enough advertising. This is not working. So Major League Baseball is working with the teams right now to produce a lot of the games. And that means anywhere from $60 to $110, $120 million may be missing from teams' coffers in 2024. That said, David, that means that they have a legitimate reason not to be spending money, not to be offering long-term deals. However, they cannot be in unison making similar offers to players, because that would and did in 1986-87 prove the last collusion case that cost them multi-millions of dollars back then. It would be billions of dollars now.
That's solid information, Bruce, and that's good insight. Let's look at this the way a Cub fan might. All right, you got a hole at third base. You've got Matt Chapman on the market. You've got the Cubs who can spend, and he signs a $54 million contract. Why would that not be attractive or appealing to the Cubs to swoop in and offer a little bit more? I know how I feel about it. I'm not sure that I wanted to, in retrospect, block Matt Shaw. I don't know that, you know, Christopher Morel can't do the job. The longer the offseason went on, the less I like the idea of going after Matt Chapman, although I do understand why somebody might look at that contract this morning, 3 years, $54 million, and wonder why. I think you also have to consider, as Sean Sears, our producer, pointed out, the Cubs would have been having to pay a draft pick, maybe as high as a second in compensation, because Toronto made a qualifying offer to Matt Chapman. So there are a lot of things that contribute to why the Cubs stayed away from this. What do you think was the biggest reason?
Matt Shaw. Okay, Matt Shaw is the name, and that's the infielder that signed last year, came through the farm system quickly, is thought to be a star in the making at one position. He'll play third base in the minor leagues this year, maybe start at Double-A, move quickly to Triple-A. But that is the reason that they're not going to tie themselves up to a guy like Chapman, and also the fact that, you know, Morel has to have a position, okay? He can be the DH. He can be the DH for the next 7 or 8 years. But with his athleticism, Craig Counsell and the Cubs wanted to make sure that he doesn't have a position first. That would be third base. He's going to get that opportunity the rest of the spring to play there. That's one major reason. The other is defensively, Chapman's one of the great third basemen, maybe ever, but at least in the last 20 or 30 years. There's no denying that. offensively, Morrell had a better season than Chapman did last year.
Right.
Okay. He outproduced him. And okay, both strike out a lot. Morrell strikes out a lot. Morrell has shown a bad sign over the last 2 years of dipping in the month of September and being used less. So we'll see if that changes. But we know that he's an electric player with the ability to hit 35 to 40 home runs, maybe more than that. He hit 37 last year, 26 in the majors, 11 in the minor leagues. So, David, the point is they have fortification at third base. They feel good about where that's going in the future. Why would you tie yourself up with Chapman on any type of deal when you really think that you got something just as good in your own system?
I understand that totally, and I love everything I see about Matt Shaw. You don't want to fall in love with prospects, but he's an easy guy to get infatuated with because of the way that he's already burst onto the scene. Another guy has, Bruce, got to ask you about him as we turn to what happened Friday in Arizona. Cubs beat the White Sox 10-6. Interesting game on a lot of different levels. We saw Justin Steele. We saw Michael Kopech look pretty good, and we saw Owen Casey going deep, the big red-headed left-handed power hitter for the Cubs at AA, had a heck of a season in 2023. Bruce, he's hitting .686 or .636 in spring training so far. I don't want to get carried away, and I'm not gonna. But tell me this, why can't I get carried away with Owen Casey? Because this is somebody who is having, he fits the profile. He's a big left-handed power hitter. He's somebody that was part of the Yu Darvish trade way back when. And is a young, what, is he 21 years old now? And he's blossoming into this power hitter you could see making an impact at the major league level. But the question is when? And the question is how much do we believe what we're seeing right now?
Right. Well, you know, we always caution people this time of year in spring training, you know, not to get carried away with big numbers put up by people, especially when they're facing people from the third or fourth inning on. Right now, you're not seeing any of the starting pitchers last more than 2 to 3 innings tops. So after that, you're facing double, triple A, single A pitchers. Don't get carried away. But when you look at Casey, you look at the hit tool, you look at the ability to take the ball to the opposite field with power. Those are the things that you look at. Not did they get a bloop single or not, but what is the approach? How is that approach taken? What type of authority is in that swing? Those are the things I think you look at for players rather than, hey, the guy was 3 for 4, but 2 of them were bloop singles and sun-related. You know, those are you look hard into the at-bats and into the past and the future. You try to project the future of a guy like Casey, and it's all thumbs up. They're talking about moving him to try to play a little bit of first base too, being a left-handed hitter. And I guess the Cubs can't have too many left-handed hitting first basemen right now.
Speaking of the Sun, what happened to PCA? We'll get to that later. Maybe the Mariners will be interested in trading for him because the Sun's never out in Seattle. This guy's struggling right now with the Sun. It did last year in Colorado. Did it again on Friday, Bruce. That was something two balls lost in the Arizona sky. Ugh. Don't know if that was a great day for PCA, but I guess everyone has a bad one.
Yeah, look, there was a ball that was missed at first base, too, on a pop-up. The sun is brutal there. If you've ever been there and you have no clouds in the sky on a day like yesterday, I'm not making any excuses for Armstrong because Canario went out there after he was there and had a lot of fly balls out there and performed well. So you have to be able to learn how to look off to the side and be able to find that ball. I'm sure he will. That's not going to be the determining factor as to whether he's in the major leagues or not, David. But the reality is that it was a bad day. It cost them runs, and it had a bad look to it.
Terrible. Take a lap.
312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. Your biggest development of the week was for the Cubs, for the White Sox. There were a lot that went on. I also, Friday, not to be overlooked, Bruce, Michael Kopech did have a strong outing, did look like the guy that teases us into thinking he actually could amount to something consistently one day. I think Garrett Crochet earlier in the week had the biggest outing of any Sox pitcher so far in spring training. 1 2/3 scoreless against the Dodgers, struck out Ohtani, hit 100 on the radar gun. I just don't know what to believe with Crochet because I just don't know how healthy he can stay.
I heard a stat, and we'll get a double check because Sean Sears is the very best at finding this out. But from what I understand, Crochet's faced Ohtani 5 times, okay? 4 during the regular season, and he struck him out every time. Okay, so that's pretty impressive
wow.
in its own way, if that is a fact. And I guess, again, we'll get it double-checked here. But the reality is that Crochet is going to get time to develop as a starting pitcher. That's what he was coming out of college. He's got a huge arm. He's back to being healthy. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to start at the major league level this year, although with the team that they have,
Can you imagine?
Well, he doesn't have enough innings load, David. He just doesn't have enough innings built up. So if you want him to be an opener for you and build up that way, if you're taking the games in a different way with your 2024 season for the White Sox, and he is your opener 30 times, but he only pitches in 110 innings, are you okay with that?
I think it's a non-traditional state of Major League Baseball right now when it comes to pitchers like Crochet. I would take a non-traditional approach. I would want him to spend every inning that he has in that arm at the Major League level. I just think he's ready for that, Bruce. You look at the stuff he had on display earlier in the week, and it's obvious that he is. So I don't know that I would waste his innings at AAA Charlotte for a team that might lose 95 games. I just wouldn't do that.
Right. Well, here's the advantage of making him an opener. You have a controlled amount of pitches. You have a controlled amount of what he does. And you have a vision of what he's doing to start the game for you that day as the way the game is going initially. Whereas when you bring him in the middle innings, the game starts to dictate how you can use him. Okay. So there's a real difference in, you know, the philosophy of an opener as opposed to, well, we'll build his innings in the 4th, 5th, 6th inning. Maybe he'll get 2 innings this day, and maybe he'll only get 2/3 of an inning this day because we're trying to win this game. You know, there's a huge difference in the dynamic of whether you're developing a starting pitcher or whether you're trying to just use him to the best for the team to win. So you have two things going. You're trying to win a game, but you're also trying player development for a big arm for the White Sox.
Speaking of debuts, Shota Imanaga makes his today for the Cubs against the Dodgers at 2:05 on the Marquee Sports Network. Looking forward to that. Showtime against the Dodgers, Bruce. Not sure what to expect, but very, very curious because wondering where he slots into that Cub rotation.
Yeah, you wonder if yesterday Craig Counsell said that he's not ready to name his rotation or his starting pitcher, opening pitcher. All things equal, you know, we're pretty sure it's going to be Justin Steele. But do you want to go left, right, left, right, left, right? Is that what you want to do? And Wicks happens to be a part of that rotation as well. We'll have to see how that shakes out.
We're going to take a break now, Bruce, but when we come back, we know that our callers want to participate, and they're guys who have brought a lot to the program, Mike and Ron and Crawley. We will get to you when we come back. We're setting up Cody Bellinger at 9:40, Nicky Lopez at 10 o'clock. This is going to be a great show, packed with our opinions, great guests, and yours as well. 312-644-6767. It's Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bruce Levine and David Haw.
I think we make too much of lineups. I will say that. I think, you know, ultimately we want a lot of good hitters to go have great at-bats, and then that's how we're going to score runs.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine. That was Craig Counts. Welcome to Chicago, Counts. Yes, we've questioned lineups. We love to second guess. Everybody's a lineupista, as Joe Maddon will tell you. But Bruce, he's going to, obviously he's used to that in Milwaukee. It's going to probably intensify in Chicago. There's a lot of possibilities in that Cub lineup, but I think he's going to mix and match. He's going to sound. Do you think the Cubs are going to have an everyday go-to lineup, or do you think he's going to vary the order and vary guys at positions?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some platooning going on here, David, and some switching around. I don't know too many teams, and maybe some of our great fans who know some of the teams' lineups better than I do outside of the Chicago and the Midwest teams can tell me, but I don't know too many teams that have set lineups, okay, just where it's automatic. It's the same lineup every day. You know, it's not the 69 Cubs lineup anymore. It's not the 77 White Sox Hitmen lineup where you find the same guys day in and day out. It's just a different era in baseball. And let's be honest, how many players play more than 140, 145 games anyway? So they move them around quite a bit. I do think that what you pointed out, the tendency for counsel to get worn out by questions, that is something that we're going to have to watch, okay? Because coming from the small market in Milwaukee, the reporters up there are outstanding and they're good, but there's a small amount compared to Chicago, okay?
Makes you wonder so how well, yeah, he will suffer fools. I mean, that's a phrase. It's not. I'm not making a judgment.
Leave me out of it, okay?
I'm not saying anything about you, Bruce, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I wear managers and players out a lot with questions about, you know, ancillary issues in the game, different things that, you know, I go to different subject matters sometimes. So it takes some capacity for David Ross. It took some capacity for Joe Maddon to answer those. And they were always gracious about this. Same thing with Grafal and La Russa as well. But when you're used to having 5 to 7 minute sessions with the media, and they're now 12 to 15, mm-hmm. it can wear on you, you know, especially 162 games a year. I will say that he will have Sundays off where we'll hear a different voice, pitching coach, hitting coach, somebody else. So it won't be the two-a-day on Sundays for Craig Counsell in 2024.
You're always polite to our callers, so let's go to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's start the conversation with Mike in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. You know, I'm wondering if the shift in the free agent contract and this move to one-year deals could impact the willingness of the Sox and Cubs to actually deal with another, because it seems to me to make so much sense. The Cubs could use 1 year of Moncada at third base and 2 years of Cease. I don't think they're going to sign Snell or the other Montgomery. I'd be happy to throw in Kopech, and the Sox could certainly use some of the Cubs prospects. Is that a pipe dream? Are they willing to deal with each other? What do you guys think?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. They made a deal this week, Bruce. Bailey Horn went back to the White Sox, a young pitcher. I don't see them making a deal for Moncada.
Well, there's a $24 million that you have to deal with. Okay. Who's paying that salary? You know, I think the Cubs, on paper, they have a lot of third basemen right now. On paper, they have a lot of first basemen. Will somebody grab those positions, okay? Will it be Morel, who is defensively good enough after his spring training trial to play there every day? Will that be good enough for Council? Will it be Madrigal late in games to go in on defense? What is Wisdom's role on this team? Is he a backup third baseman? Is he a backup first baseman? Is he a DH against left-handed hitting? Or does he not have a role? Those are some of the things we'll be watching here over the next 3 weeks when they decide what this 26-man roster is going to look like.
May the hot bat play. That's the way I think Craig Council will approach it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Our buddy Ron on the south side. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey,
morning, Ron.
Hey, yeah, good morning, guys. David, it's always a great show. Just today. Real quick, I don't mind Garrett Crochet goes down, starts out in the minors, and gets stretched out, and hopefully maybe by the time middle of the season come up. But, you know, you all, the one player that I was so looking forward to seeing last year was Andrew Benintendi. So I'm just hoping that his hand has helped. He's the kind of player that Griffo talks about, and Griffo mentioned this week. He's a smart baseball player. I thought he was ideal number two hitter, a left-handed hitter, bat number two. But that's pretty much. And I also think he'll probably be here for a couple of years. So my thing is looking, you know, to the future, but just really looking to see him play. So thanks, guys.
Ron, I think that's a great point. You know, Bruce, I'm not sure how much an injury hampered Andrew Benintendi's first season in Chicago. What are expectations for him this year in your mind?
Well, a lot better, David. I mean, he played, if you look at his numbers for the year, he looked like an extra man, except that he had almost 600 bats. You know, the numbers just didn't add up. He just didn't look right. And we've seen him be a much better player in the past. You know, a five-year commitment to him is $75 million or 77, whatever it is. He's got to play better, and he's got to perform. He's always been a pretty good defender, at one time a really good defender. We need to see more of that Benintendi from two or three years ago play for the White Sox this year.
Let's squeeze in Crawley. He is part of the Fly the W podcast with our guy Dustin Rhodes. Crawley, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Excited about this Bellinger interview. As a guy, and on the podcast, we've talked to a lot of these prospects. We followed them, and it really looks like they're about ready to burst. You know, you're looking at Shaw, you're looking at Canario. Brennan Davis was having a great camp, but Owen Casey has really stood out. I was just wondering what you guys thought, you know, as far as timeline, and do you think that they may, if things don't work out with Bush and Mervis, do you think Casey's going to get some more reps at first base when he goes to the minors?
Crawley, that's a great question. Bruce, I'm not sure what to make of Owen Casey. He's somebody that has, I think, penciled in as a minor league season, maybe at Iowa, maybe back at AA. I'm not quite sure. Could he end up with the Cubs, not necessarily to start the season, but be a contributor in 2024?
Why not, David? You know, there's a saying in baseball, the good ones come fast. His bat has played at every level, and they've been excited about him. I was told for every trade supposition that occurred in the offseason between the Cubs and other teams, Casey's name came up more than just about any other player. A lot of people are interested in that bat. So when you have a left-handed bat with thump, and again, he's probably only going to get stronger, that's a player to watch in the minor leagues this year as he makes his way up.
He's got some thump. He definitely does. I love that word, Bruce. And you know who else does? Cody Bellinger. And Belly is back. Re-signed with the Cubs this week. Three-year, $80 million contract. Back in center field. Or maybe you want him at first base. Where does he want to play? We'll ask him because he's going to join us next on Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Next pitch by Rodon. Swung on, hit in the air. Deep right field. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Second deck for Cody Bellinger. Cubs lead 1-0. Impressive home run, Ron. He hit one yesterday. And now he hits one again today. And he is on a hot stretch.
Welcome back, indeed. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock today, talking baseball. And what a pleasure it is to join our next guest who joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, Cody Bellinger. Download the Circus Sports app today. How are you this morning, Cody? Thank you so much for joining us.
Doing great, guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome back, indeed. It's been a long off season. Just to start there, you're back in the fold. You obviously had the press conference explaining yourself and what happened over the off season. How frustrating was it for you to wait and to wait and to wait? Because for a lot of Cub fans, it was the winter of discontent, waiting for news on the Cody Bellinger front.
Yeah, you know, just kind of waiting for everything to play out. You know, I had my family. I got two young girls to keep me busy, and you know, constant communication with Scott, and just kind of understanding the situation. And you know, ultimately, like I said before, it all you know, planned out, and excited to be back. And had about 4 days here now, and having a great time getting ready for the season.
Cody, welcome back. Thanks for joining David and I today. We really appreciate it. And, you know, I've known Scott for 40 years since he first started out as an agent. And his way is so different from so many other agents' way. Can you explain a little bit, whatever you're willing to share, the dynamic that you have and the communication you have with Scott, and especially going through the odd offseason that this was, and knowing that the RSN markets appeared to affect, you know, the real offer is coming your way and some of the other free agents that Scott represents.
Yeah, I think just with me and Scott, and you know, just constant communication, and you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week, and talking baseball, you know, also just talking family and talking lifestyle, and just keeping up that communication, and really, like, I guess, you know, understanding the process, getting knowledgeable about the process. He does a great job of explaining everything. And, you know, so like I said, I was up to date and, you know, and excited it all worked out to be here.
Talking with Cody Bellinger here on Inside the Clubhouse and Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What was it about the Cub experience last year that made you want to return as badly as you did this season?
Can you repeat that? It kind of broke up.
What was it about the Cub experience last year that made you want to come back and be here again in Chicago for this season?
Yeah, you know, I think for me it was just I think that Wrigley Field is a beautiful place. Obviously, I felt extremely comfortable in this locker room with these group of guys, and you know, the coaching staff, and you know, the everything about, you know, Wrigley and the Cubs organization was, you know, I just had an unbelievable experience last year. And, you know, like I said, towards the end of last season, we got banged up and unfortunately came just short. And, you know, I want to do what I can and help, you know, us get to the postseason. And that's the goal for me. And that's what I'm going to strive to do every single day.
So, Cody, as you were walking out of the stadium in Milwaukee, the last game of the season last year, I think I got the final media question to you, and it was just off the record, but straight to me. And that was, the most important thing to me is, how did your family, how did your wife and your kids like the experience in Chicago? How much did that determine coming back to the Cubs and making this, you know, the place for your destination this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think as a whole, we all absolutely loved it. You know, luckily for my family, they were at home all of April. And so they got to experience the good weather out here in Arizona. And then, you know, once the weather turned out there in Chicago, they came. And, you know, I think overall as a whole, we loved it. There's so many good places to eat. The weather's amazing. The people are great. And Chicago in general is just a beautiful place.
You know, Cody, this was addressed during the press conference the other day, but the market didn't necessarily develop in the way that maybe your agent Scott Boras expected. And a lot of those things were related to, you heard the term soft contact a lot, and everyone was studying and analyzing your numbers and the metrics. And I just wonder, number one, how tired you got of hearing some of those things. And secondly, Were you penalized or punished because of the way you adjusted with two strikes and because of the way that maybe you made yourself a better all-around hitter, but that was held against you when it came to the free agent marketplace?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, obviously I heard it, and like I said, I just kind of brushed it off. You know, I trust, like I said, I trust myself as a baseball player to go out every single day and produce the best I can. And, you know, that's what I wake up every single day to do, and I try and get, you know, the best version of myself that day and put that best product on the field and, you know, trust myself and help with the help of my teammates and coaches that we're going to come out on top. And really, that's all I focus on. And everything else, you know, is stuff I can't control. And so I kind of just focus on what I can control and just try and do the best job at that.
The 2023 Cubs locker room and the people in it was one of the best that I've ever covered, and I've been around a while. I'm wondering what your thought of the dynamic of your teammates and the group was. You know, I'm not comparing to the Dodgers because, you know, every year is uniquely different, you know, with different makeup of people. But how essential was that for you wanting to return in and the people in that room?
Yeah, like you said, you know, every year is different. And, you know, for me, I just kind of felt like all of our baseball as players and teammates, we all just kind of blended together. And we all put really good product on the field, you know, playing together as a team. And, you know, obviously I felt comfortable. You know, I think that, like you said, the dynamic of the locker room, I think it showed on the field, you know. During a regular season, you're going to go through so many ups and downs of a baseball season through 162. And, you know, it's a season. That's why they call it a season. And I think, you know, you always have your teammates and your coaching staff in the locker room to pick each other up during the good and bad times. And that's what we did a great job of last year.
Well, you know, what showed the most to me, Cody, is during the downturn in the seven losing 14 out of 21 at the end, people were still positives. They were there for each other. You know, from a selfish point of view, they showed up for the media like yourself and the other people. There wasn't any change in the, you know, the way that they acted, even though you guys were going through some tough times. How essential is that for a team and a group of baseball players?
Yeah, you know, obviously we were all frustrated. But at the same time, you know, I think that we all were doing our very best that day. And that's about all you can ask for as a group and as teammates and as coaching staff. You know, we're putting it all on the line at whatever time the game is at 7 o'clock, and we're giving our all for those next 3 hours of the baseball game. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't roll the way you want it to, and it's super frustrating. But at the same time, you know, we were all playing together as a group and as a unit. And I think that's something that, you know, you just can't take away inside the locker room. And, just, you know, we're always playing for each other.
Talking with Cody Bellinger for another couple minutes here on Inside the Clubhouse. So, Cody, Dansby Swanson told a funny story about getting FaceTimed by you in the middle of the night and not answering. And he said that you guys were also at Freddie Freeman's birthday party for one of his children. And I'm just curious, how much did peer pressure, if you want to call it that, play in your decision? Because the Cubs players were asked constantly about you not being there, and they all wanted you to be there. And I'm sure that sounds like you were running into them on occasion. So how was that to deal with?
Yeah, no, it was obviously great to hear. I mean, there's just nothing but positivity this offseason. And, yeah, that night I was with Dansby, and I knew that something was close, but I didn't say anything just because, like I said, you never know. And obviously when it became official, I called Dansby, and I thought he was asleep. I found out literally 2 days ago that he saw it, which is funny. I just thought he was asleep. I was like, oh, well, I'll call him tomorrow. I called a few other people, and, you know, obviously was super excited. And, yeah, I mean, got a hold of Dansby the next morning, and he still didn't know, which was funny. So I broke the news to him still. And, you know, the next day or two, I think, I was able to come in and say what's up to the guys and, you know, do all my medical work and all that type of fun stuff before I got to actually put on the uniform and go and play some baseball.
Cody, the last one for me, and again, David and I really appreciate the time today. When you have a transformation from David Ross – to Craig Counsell, how impactful is the manager? How impactful was Ross for you? What has been your initial contact and experience with Craig Counsell?
Yeah, honestly, I've had nothing but positive experiences with both of them. Obviously, I had a full season with Rossi, and you know, he was nothing but amazing. You know, super easy to talk to, an easy guy to play for. And same with Counts, man. I've only had a few days with him, and I mean, the overall vibe in this locker room is amazing. And you know, like I said, I played against Counts so many times with him on the opposing side, and you know, nothing but respect and for how he handles how he handles everything. And I've heard nothing but amazing things. And just to get to experience it firsthand over here has been great. And so for me, both nothing but positive experiences and positive words. And you know, this season, excited to get out there and play and you know, and give it our best shot, see what happens.
Before we let you go, Cody, so obviously you coming back, everyone talks about the roster versatility that affords Craig Counsell with lineups, and you're capable at first base, you're great in center field. I just wonder, from your standpoint, which do you prefer? And does moving back and forth, is that a realistic possibility? And if you did that, does it affect your approach at the plate at all, being as versatile as you are defensively?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, honestly, I just want to play. Honestly, I just want to play. And, you know, both positions are entirely different, outfield and first base, you know. But with that being said, as long as I'm in the lineup, I'm happy. And, yeah, there hasn't been too much discussion yet on what the plan is. But for now, I'm getting ready for both and doing all my work and preparation to play both. And I enjoy playing, you know, I enjoy playing both. So for me, no preference. You know, I think that as long as I'm out there every single day, that's something that I strive to do, and that's something I love to do.
And I think Cub fans are happy that you're doing it in Chicago. Again, Cody Bellinger, welcome back. Thank you for your time this morning, and I hope you have a great spring and look forward to seeing you in Chicago.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Cody Bellinger, Cubs center fielder, first baseman, MVP, Bruce, best player on the team last year, likely to be the best player again this year. Changes expectations, is that fair to say? I think that Cody Bellinger's return makes the Chicago Cubs the favorites in the NL Central.
Well, it certainly takes their lineup. Look, as soon as the season ends and I see Bellinger's not a part of it, I'm starting to look at what my lineups are for the team the next year. Okay, do it with the White Sox and the Cubs. And there was this huge hole in the Cubs lineup. Yeah, Suzuki came on strong. He could be a third and fourth hitter, and he could be a slug guy and a big OPS guy going forward. We don't know that for sure. Two months of a terrific play by him offensively. Bellinger was a must from the beginning. I don't think it was just my pipe dream. I believe that was the Cubs' feeling from day one. The way they played it was beautifully. It worked out great for them. It's not like Bellinger is going to be broke. He got a $13 million raise for this year. He can have that $13 million raise again next year or else go somewhere else at age 29. I think it's a perfect scenario. And not only that, but if you believe in this, David, that players should always be playing for next year to get the most out of him, he's going to continue to play for next year. I don't know if he needed that incentive, but he's certainly going to be playing for a 6 or 7 year contract after this year.
That's what's so great from the Cubs' perspective. It still is something that it's not a contract where there's going to be complacency creeping in and human nature maybe taking over because he still has something to play for. You're exactly right, Bruce. That's why I looked at it. The Cubs won this one. I think they won the stare down with Scott Boras. Hoyer won, Boras zero, and Cody Bellinger benefits too because of that, and I think he's going to be on the right team at the right time. So this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm not for players or owners, but you know, the game is better when players have incentive, when people have incentive in any job in life to perform every day because your family's livelihood, your livelihood is on the line. You know, we're just better, you know, being just a little bit nervous and a little bit antsy and working harder.
We'll keep the great conversations coming when we come back. The pride of Naperville Central, Nicky Lopez, the White Sox second baseman, joins Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
The next pitch by Rodon. Swung on, hit in the air. Deep right field, get out. The tape measure, long gone. Second deck for Cody Bellinger. Cubs lead 1-0. Impressive home run, Ron. He hit one yesterday. And now he hits one again today. And he is on a hot stretch.
Welcome back, indeed. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, until 11 o'clock today, talking baseball. And what a pleasure it is to join our next guest who joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline, Cody Bellinger. Download the Circus Sports app today. How are you this morning, Cody? Thank you so much for joining us.
Doing great, guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome back indeed. It's been a long off season. Just to start there, you're back in the fold. You obviously had the press conference explaining yourself and what happened over the off season. How frustrating was it for you to wait and to wait and to wait? Because for a lot of Cub fans, it was the winter of discontent, waiting for news on the Cody Bellinger front.
Yeah, you know, just kind of waiting for everything to play out. You know, I had my family. I got two young girls to keep me busy and, you know, constant communication with Scott and just kind of understanding the situation. And, you know, ultimately, like I said before, it all planned out and excited to be back and had about 4 days here now and having a great time getting ready for the season.
Cody, welcome back. Thanks for joining David and I today. We really appreciate it. And, you know, I've known Scott for 40 years since he first started out as an agent. And his way is so different from so many other agents' way. Can you explain a little bit, whatever you're willing to share, the dynamic that you have and the communication you have with Scott and especially going through the odd offseason that this was and knowing that the RSN markets appeared to affect, you know, the real offer is coming your way and some of the other free agents that Scott represents.
Yeah, I think just with me and Scott and, you know, just constant communication and, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week and talking baseball, you know, also just talking family and talking lifestyle and just keeping up that communication and really, like, you know, understanding the process, getting knowledgeable about the process. He does a great job of explaining everything. And, you know, so like I said, I was up to date and, you know, and excited it all worked out to be here.
Talking with Cody Bellinger here on Inside the Clubhouse and Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What was it about the Cub experience last year that made you want to return as badly as you did this season?
Can you repeat that? It kind of broke up.
What was it about the Cub experience last year that made you want to come back and be here again in Chicago for this season?
Yeah, you know, I think for me it was just I think that Wrigley Field is a beautiful place. obviously I felt extremely comfortable in this locker room with these group of guys and, you know, the coaching staff and, you know, the everything about, you know, Wrigley and the Cubs organization was, you know, I just had an unbelievable experience last year. And, you know, like I said, towards the end of last season, we got banged up and unfortunately came just short. And, you know, I want to do what I can and help, you know, us get to the postseason. And that's the goal for me. And that's what I'm going to strive to do every single day.
So, Cody, as you were walking out of the stadium in Milwaukee, the last game of the season last year, I think I got the final media question to you, and it was just off the record but straight to me, and that was the most important thing to me is how did your family, how did your wife and your kids like the experience in Chicago? How much did that determine coming back to the Cubs and making this, you know, the place for your destination this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think as a whole, we all absolutely loved it. You know, luckily for my family, they were at home all of April. And so they got to experience the good weather out here in Arizona. And then, you know, once the weather turned out there in Chicago, they came. And, you know, I think overall as a whole, we loved it. There's so many good places to eat. The weather's amazing. The people are great. And Chicago in general is just a beautiful place.
You know, Cody, this was addressed during the press conference the other day, but the market didn't necessarily develop in the way that maybe your agent Scott Boras expected. And a lot of those things were related to, you heard the term soft contact a lot, and everyone was studying and analyzing your numbers and the metrics. And I just wonder, number one, how tired you got of hearing some of those things. And secondly, were you penalized or punished because of the way you adjusted with two strikes and because of the way that maybe you made yourself a better all-around hitter, but that was held against you when it came to the free agent marketplace?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, obviously I heard it, and like I said, I just kind of brushed it off. You know, I trust, like I said, I trust myself as a baseball player to go out every single day and produce the best I can. And, you know, that's what I wake up every single day to do, and I try and get, you know, the best version of myself that day and put that best product on the field and, you know, trust myself and help with the help of my teammates and coaches that we're going to come out on top. And really, that's all I focus on. And everything else, you know, is stuff I can't control. And so I kind of just focus on what I can control and just try and do the best job at that.
The 2023 Cubs locker room and the people in it was one of the best that I've ever covered, and I've been around a while. I'm wondering what your thought of the dynamic of your teammates and the group was. You know, I'm not comparing to the Dodgers because, you know, every year is uniquely different, you know, with different makeup of people. But how essential was that for you wanting to return in and the people in that room?
Yeah, like you said, you know, every year is different. And, you know, for me, I just kind of felt like all of our baseball as players and teammates, we all just kind of blended together and we all put really good product on the field, you know, playing together as a team. And, you know, obviously I felt comfortable. You know, I think that, like you said, the dynamic of the locker room, I think it showed on the field, you know. During a regular season, you're going to go through so many ups and downs of a baseball season through 162. And, you know, it's a season. That's why they call it a season. And I think, you know, you always have your teammates and your coaching staff in the locker room to pick each other up during the good and bad times. And that's what we did a great job of last year.
Well, you know, what showed the most to me, Cody, is during the downturn in the losing 14 out of 21 at the end, people were still positives. They were there for each other. You know, from a selfish point of view, they showed up for the media like yourself and the other people. There wasn't any change in the, you know, the way that they acted, even though you guys were going through some tough times. How essential is that for a team and a group of baseball players?
Yeah, you know, obviously we were all frustrated. But at the same time, you know, I think that we all were doing our very best that day. And that's about all you can ask for as a group and as teammates and as coaching staff. You know, we're putting it all on the line at whatever time the game is at 7 o'clock, and we're giving our all for those next 3 hours of the baseball game. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't roll the way you want it to, and it's super frustrating. But at the same time, you know, we were all playing together as a group and as a unit, and I think that's something that, you know, you just can't take away inside the locker room, and just, you know, we're always playing for each other.
Talking with Cody Bellinger for another couple minutes here on Inside the Clubhouse. So, Cody, Dansby Swanson told a funny story about getting FaceTimed by you in the middle of the night and not answering. And he said that you guys were also at Freddie Freeman's birthday party for one of his children. And I'm just curious, how much did peer pressure, if you want to call it that, play in your decision? Because the Cubs players were asked constantly about you not being there, and they all wanted you to be there. And I'm sure that sounds like you were running into them on occasion. So how was that to deal with?
Yeah, no, it was obviously great to hear. I mean, there's just nothing but positivity this offseason. And, yeah, that night I was with Dansby, and I knew that something was close, but I didn't say anything just because, like I said, you never know. And obviously when it became official, I called Dansby, and I thought he was asleep. I found out literally 2 days ago that he saw it, which is funny. I just thought he was asleep. I was like, oh, well, I'll call him tomorrow. I called a few other people, and, you know, obviously was super excited. And, yeah, I mean, got a hold of Dansby the next morning, and he still didn't know, which was funny. So I broke the news to him still. And, you know, the next day or two, I think, I was able to come in and say what's up to the guys and, you know, do all my medical work and all that type of fun stuff before I got to actually put on the uniform and go and play some baseball.
Cody, the last one for me, and again, David and I really appreciate the time today. When you have a transformation from David Ross to Craig Counsell, how impactful is the manager? How impactful was Ross for you? What has been your initial contact and experience with Craig Counsell?
Yeah, honestly, I've had nothing but positive experiences with both of them. Obviously, I had a full season with Rossi, and you know, he was nothing but amazing. You know, super easy to talk to, an easy guy to play for. And same with Counts, man. I've only had a few days with him. And, I mean, the overall vibe in this locker room is amazing. And, you know, like I said, I played against Counts so many times with him on the opposing side. And, you know, nothing but respect and for how he handles how he handles everything. And I've heard nothing but amazing things. And just to get to experience it firsthand over here has been great. And so for me, both nothing but positive experiences and positive words. And, you know, this season, excited to get out there and play and, you know, and give it our best shot, see what happens.
Before we let you go, Cody, so obviously you coming back, everyone talks about the roster versatility that affords Craig Counsell with lineups, and you're capable at first base, you're great in center field. I just wonder, from your standpoint, which do you prefer? And does moving back and forth, is that a realistic possibility? And if you did that, does it affect your approach at the plate at all, being as versatile as you are defensively?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, honestly, I just want to play. Honestly, I just want to play. And, you know, both positions are entirely different, outfield and first base. You know, but with that being said, as long as I'm in the lineup, I'm happy. And, yeah, there hasn't been too much discussion yet on what the plan is. But for now, I'm getting ready for both and doing all my work and preparation to play both. And I enjoy playing, you know, I enjoy playing both. So for me, no preference. You know, I think that as long as I'm out there every single day, that's something that I strive to do, and that's something I love to do.
And I think Cub fans are happy that you're doing it in Chicago again. Cody Bellinger, welcome back. Thank you for your time this morning, and I hope you have a great spring and look forward to seeing you in Chicago.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Cody Bellinger, Cubs center fielder, first baseman, MVP, Bruce, best player on the team last year, likely to be the best player again this year. Changes expectations, is that fair to say? I think that Cody Bellinger's return makes the Chicago Cubs the favorites in the NL Central.
Well, it certainly takes their lineup. Look, as soon as the season ends and I see Bellinger's not a part of it, I'm starting to look at what my lineups are for the team the next year. Okay, I do it with the White Sox and the Cubs. And there was this huge hole in the Cubs lineup. yeah, Suzuki came on strong. He could be a third and fourth hitter, and he could be a slug guy and a big OPS guy going forward. We don't know that for sure. Two months of a terrific play by him offensively. Bellinger was a must from the beginning. I don't think it was just my pipe dream. I believe that was the Cubs' feeling from day one. The way they played it was beautifully. It worked out great for them. It's not like Bellinger is going to be broke. He got a $13 million raise for this year. He can have that $13 million raise again next year or else go somewhere else at age 29. I think it's a perfect scenario. And not only that, but if you believe in this, David, that players should always be playing for next year to get the most out of him, he's going to continue to play for next year. I don't know if he needed that incentive, but he's certainly going to be playing for a 6 or 7 year contract after this year.
That's what's so great from the Cubs' perspective. It still is something that it's not a contract where there's going to be complacency creeping in and human nature maybe taking over because he still has something to play for. You're exactly right, Bruce. That's why I looked at it. The Cubs won this one. I think they won the stare down with Scott Boras. Hoyer won, Boras zero, and Cody Bellinger benefits too because of that, and I think he's going to be on the right team at the right time. So this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm not for players or owners, but you know, the game is better when players have incentive, when people have incentive in any job in life to perform every day because your family's livelihood, your livelihood is on the line. You know, we're just better, you know, being just a little bit nervous and a little bit antsy and working harder.
We'll keep the great conversations coming when we come back. The pride of Naperville Central, Nicky Lopez, the White Sox second baseman, joins Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.